turn to Joel 2. Joel, y'all know what Joel is? It's real easy to find. It's Daniel, Hosea, Joel. You know where Daniel is, right after Ezekiel. That's a big book. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Joel chapter 2. This is a teaching today entitled The Supernatural Benefits of Fasting, Part 2. Last time I shared, I saw three benefits we talked about. One was provides clear direction from the Holy Spirit. Two, helps you discern a person's character. We saw the apostles in the book of Acts would show up in these churches they had just birthed, and they sit in elders. And, you know, to discern a person's character enough to be a leader of a church takes time. They didn't have time. So it says they fasted, which means that helped them to discern a character of a person. How many of y'all wish you had known that earlier in your life in certain relationships and known that there was something you could do to more quickly? Is that a good phrase in English? More quickly? More rapidly discern a person's character. Amen? Instead of find out. And then we saw in Judges chapter 20 that fasting enables you to hear God quickly and distinctly. Distinctly. It's nothing better than hearing a clear, distinct word of God. You know, the Lord, sometimes we get these vague, generic, but I mean specific words of God. And those are called gifts of the Spirit. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discernment. These are specific words of God. Well, you know something you could not know otherwise. And I count that one of the most wonderful experiences of life, is to be able to hear God specific, say something that's supernatural from heaven. And you know it's totally right on, and it's from Him. That's cool. That's totally cool. And it happens. But I'm telling you what, if it hadn't happened for you for a while, if you'll engage in some fasting and seek the face of the Lord, He'll begin to give you specific words. And I've gotten the point. I'm just so thankful over the years I've gotten to the point with the Lord where I know His voice. The sheep, my sheep, what? Know my voice. They hear my voice. And I know the voice of Jesus, man. There's no mistake in His voice. And it ministers peace. In fact, Psalm 29, the voice of the Lord is mentioned 7 times. And it ends, He will give His people strength and peace. And the voice of the Lord is powerful. The word we don't, man does not live, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's a rhema word, the quickened word of the Holy Spirit. And we need to hear the voice of Jesus, because the demons, Satan pours lies on us all day long about this, that, and the other, this person, that situation, you. Amen? So we need the truth that sets us free. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, everyone that's of the truth hears my voice. And if you love the truth more than anything, if you say, Lord, I want truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, guess what? You'll hear His voice. And but if there's anything in you that loves a lie, that doesn't want truth, folks, you will be sent delusion, the Bible says. And you'll be deceived, and the devil will have a hook on you, and will be miserable. You say, where does the devil have a hold of me? I'll tell you where he has a hold on you. And what area of your life are you miserable? And what area of life do you suffer misery and self-pity? And what area of life do you kind of plunge up, down, up, under, out of the spirit? You're in the flesh. You're stuck. You're log-jammed. Your feet are snared. You know, y'all been reading the news the last couple of days about this sub, this Russian sub that were this morning. The good news is they rescued him. Praise God. They rescued him. Man, that's so scary to me. I am a claustrophobic type guy. The thing about it, these guys are trapped in this Russian sub 600 feet underwater, you know, and they're caught in a snare and they couldn't get out. And the oxygen, and every day I was reading the news, the oxygen level's going down, and can they rescue them? You know, finally some praying for these Ruskies, you know. And sure enough, they got free. And you know, you see the spiritual analogy of that? A lot of us are submerged and we're stuck. We're bound. We're hooked, as it were, by some bondage. So we need the Holy Ghost to go down there and go down. And I think they finally got an underwater sub that went and snapped and the bondage and released the sub. And what a type of we need the Holy Spirit to come and loose us from the bondages. Amen? So we can rise up above and live in the free oxygen of the Spirit. Praise God. So I want to look at three more benefits of fasting today. Joel 2:12. Therefore now, says the Lord, turn even to me with all your heart. Look at this. And with fasting, weeping and mourning, rend your heart, not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God. He is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, great mercy, repenteth him of the evil. Who knows if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering. Aren't you glad we have a God of the universe that is loving and kind and gracious and merciful? Aren't you glad that happens to be the character of God? Well, we can access that part of God through repentance and fasting. I forgot to put my overhead on. Last time I had these on the overhead, I neglected to do that today. This is the next supernatural benefit of fasting. This would have been on the overhead, and it's this. You ready? Puts teeth into repentance. Puts teeth into your repentance. How many of y'all have that go through what I call the revolving door syndrome? You commit sin, you confess, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. He forgives you, and then you're forgiven, and then you commit sin, you confess, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. I repent, I hold myself, and then you commit the sin. Forgive me, confess. Anybody? You know, I'm telling you, sometimes you got to put a little teeth into the repentance. Amen? You know, it's a good teeth thing. Lord, I am going to fast. I'm going to prove my repentance by fasting. You know, I'm going to skip a meal. Oh, God forbid. You know, I'm not going to eat dessert. I'll go 24 hours and nothing will touch my lips but water. You know, you will not die. I promise you, you will not die. You might feel like you're dying, particularly if you've been eating a lot of stuff that'll cause your blood sugar to go crazy. But you will not die. But something will die. In fact, you know there's something in you doesn't want to die at the thought of it. Amen? The thought, oh my God, this is not fear. No, folks, sometimes it's good to take charge of the flesh. We've been taught, Paul said, I keep my body under, 1 Corinthians 9, and treat it as a slave, lest that when I preach to others, it could overcome me. He says, I'm going to keep my body under subjection. I think there's some verse somewhere that says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Here's a verse, I'm quoting this out of Romans. Listen to this. If you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Romans 8:13. Think about that verse. If you through the Spirit do put to death, the word mortify is an old word that means, you know, we get mortician. I was mortified. I could die. Mortician is a guy who handles dead bodies. The word mortify means to put to death. If you through the Spirit do put to death the deeds of the body, look, you shall live. You will be living in the Spirit. The way to overcome and live in the Spirit is you got to put to death the deeds of the body. I'm sorry, but the universe is not structured such that we seek God with prayer and banana splits. That is not the way the universe is structured. Come to me, all ye, and seek me with prayer and much sugar and ice cream, and you will find me. That's not the way he structured it. How do they structure it? Fasting and self-denial. All right, maybe on the other side. Maybe that's heaven. You know, seek God with sweets. I don't know. But this universe, it has to do with self-denial. Fasting puts your money where your mouth is. It proves sincerity. It's something you can do. Maybe there's an area of your life that you got, you know, you always trips you up over and over and over, and you've repented. Well, this is something you can do. Fast and pray. Jesus even said once about a certain demon, these kind don't come out but by prayer and fasting. Okay? Fasting speaks three ways. You ready? It speaks to God. It means you know, it means you mean business. It speaks to Satan. It means I'm taking back control. And it speaks to yourself. It means you can't overcome. You will speak to yourself, oh, wow, I can't overcome. I can do something. There's something I can do. So it speaks three different ways. Now let's look at another one in Ezra 8. Y'all know where Ezra is? Find Psalms and go back. Job, Esther, Nehemiah, Ezra. There it is. Just find Psalms and go back. Ezra 8. We're just looking at three more examples today. Are the supernatural benefits of fasting? There's so many. By the way, all of these are found in my booklet. Available out there or on the web. You can download. The supernatural, what is it? The Fasting, the power of dynamite. How's it go? Spiritual warfare, dynamite, fasting, spiritual. So all of these are illustrated in there. Ezra 8:21. This is Ezra's companions, and Ezra was trying to get through the enemies to seek the Lord. And it says, verse 21, I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, I think it is, or Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us, for our little ones and for all our substance. Verse 22. For I was ashamed to require the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. Because we'd spoken to the king and said, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. Verse 23. Now look at verse 31. Then we departed from the river Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go to Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy, and as of such as lay in wait by the way. You know, they had said to the king, no problem, the Lord's with us, he's going to take care of us. This is analogous. You know, when you're in the Old West, we went to a restaurant last night. What's it? What was the name of that restaurant? Gabby's. And on the wall of the restaurant was this painting of an Old West robbery. How they used to, they take these trains to the Old West, and robbers would, you know, literally hold up the trains, have everybody come out and hold them up. You know, just to travel in the Old West in those days was pretty dangerous because of the marauders and the robbers and the thieves. Well, that's what Ezra and them were afraid of. They were afraid as they were going to Jerusalem, some of them was going to, you know, they had a lot of the, I believe, a lot of the precious things of the sanctuary, the tabernacle with them, in the temple. And they were afraid. But he said, we were ashamed to ask the king for help. Because he said, well, I thought you said God was going to help you. So he said, yeah. And so he realized we need substantive help from God. We're fixing to go through this land of enemies and get to Jerusalem. And when we don't want to embarrass us, we told the king God's going to. So what he did is he fasted. He knew he needed to reach God. You know, he didn't need any long, convoluted number. He needed an 800 number. He needed direct contact with God. So he fasted. He called a fast. They all fasted. And as a result, God heard, and he sent angels. And he didn't need, he had the angelic battalion around him, and they made it. In verse 31, it says, our God delivered us from the hand of the enemy. So here's another. You ready? Another principle. This would have been on the overhead today. Here's another supernatural benefit of fasting. Ready? Delivers you from the snares and traps of the enemy. Delivers you from the snares and traps of the enemy. See, the enemy knows yours and my weakness. He knows your lazy areas. He knows your passive areas, your apathetic areas. He knows. He has a computer printout on each one of us, unfortunately. And the scripture says, we're not ignorant of his devices, lest he should get advantage. The enemy knows your number. He's a spirit being. And spiritual beings have far more prescience and understanding than we do. And the enemy, Satan, is of a high rank. By the way, I'm going to share something that sounds very heretical. Have you ever heard of the notion that Satan was cast out of heaven after he rebelled? You ever heard that? It's not true. He's still in heaven. Revelation 12, where it said the devil and his angels fought with Michael and the dragons, he was cast out. If you will look at the context, it hasn't happened yet. Read the context of Revelation 12. That's end times. You know where he is right now? He is in the second heavens. In fact, in Job, it says when the sons of God appeared, Satan appeared among them. He was up there. He's not. He will be cast down. When he comes down on the earth, he's going to embody somebody. See, Satan only works from the heavenlies, but when he's cast to the earth, he's going to have to get inside of a body. You know who that's going to be? Antichrist. And that's why it's going to be the most wicked, scary time in the universe, because Satan himself will be inside of a human body, which I believe is alive now. Waiting, prepared. It's interesting, there's a scripture in the Psalms that thou hast prepared a body for me, the Lord said. And I was looking at the analogy, it's Satan saying, thou hast prepared a body for me. Christ even said, you do not receive me, there is one that will come whom you will receive. Did you know Jesus said that once? He said to the Jews, there is one who will come whom you will receive. He was speaking about, I believe, Antichrist. Well, anyway, that's kind of off here. But the bottom line is, how did I get into that? Oh, Satan has is the word dossier? What does that mean? A file on you. You know, he goes through the files. Let's see. Randy Jones. Woo, a thick one. I'm sorry. Well, that's of all the victories you've had over him. That's why it's so thick. See? So he knows your number. And as a result, believers are defeated over and over because he knows just the kind of cheese you like. Hallie, he couldn't get you with Limburger, right? But, you know, he knows your kind of cheese. Amen? There's a certain kind of cheese. I used to like Baby Swiss. Oh, man. He knows your cheese. He knows your number. And the problem is we're ignorant of his devices. Listen, fasting clears the air. It clears the air. It makes it crystal clear. Have any of y'all ever been on a mountain? Way up on a mountain? I know y'all live in Texas. Listen, there are these things, okay? How can I describe them? They're like freeway dealies, but they're bigger, okay? Freeway ramp things, they're real big. I know we're in Texas. I know that most of the United States is Texas, but there is a few little outlying states up there that have these things called mountains. I saw a map once, a map of the United States. It had Texas, and then everything else was called not Texas. Fasting clears the spiritual air. Also, fasting reveals ground. It will reveal the ground of the enemy. Fasting is essential to walking in the spirit and not walking in the flesh. You've got to build fasting if you want to walk. And I was going to say on mountain. I've been on a couple of mountains. And I remember being on one, Mount Horn, in the Sangre de Cristo range. Now, that's a biblical range of mountains. That's in Colorado. It's called the Mountains Range of the Blood of Christ. All right? And God actually spoke to me, not audibly, but on the Mount Horn on 7/7/77. Believe it or not, it was that day. I was on Mount Horn and the blood of Jesus rained. The Lord spoke to my heart. Something life-changing. And I never forget being up on the mountain. I was just a typical city slicker. I had a thin pair of socks and just some, you know, penny loafers. Man, I had blisters that lasted 6 months. That's not what you climb. But anyway, I got up top of this mountain, beyond the tree line, got all the way to the top, and they had a survey marker up there. You know, I don't even know if you know it, but the whole nation has been meted and bounded. Did you know that? The Meets and Bounds Act, did you know that was prophesied in the scripture? Did you know that the United States Meets and Bounds Surveying, yeah, I can show you in the word that it was done? Yes. This is the only nation that's ever been completely surveyed with meets and bounds from one to the other. There's a scripture that talks about the land. I personally believe it refers to the United States in the book of Isaiah. It talks about they will be treaded under and meted. But nevertheless, I'm up there on top of this mountain. Sure enough, there's a survey marker. And I'm telling you something. That particular day, the air was crystal clear. It was a little more difficult to breathe. But it was wonderful, the vista. One time we went to Lookout Mountain in Chattanooga, Tennessee. You ever been there? You can see 7 states. Well, the day we got up there, it happened to be foggy, and we could see the car. But I heard you could see 7 states. Fasting delivers. He clears the air. It clears the air. You know, it's like we're fog bound down here in the spirit. It's always stuff. Demonic stuff. Demons. Frustrations. Strongholds. Fasting just clears the air. And you can see. And we need to see to walk. Amen? Okay, that's the second area we want to talk about today. And I really believe fasting, you know, build it in your regimen. If you want an overcoming walk, you've got to build the discipline of fasting in your life. It's got to be there. Or in other words, you're going to just occasionally catch glimpses. There's great joy in fasting, great energy in fasting. If it threatens Satan, Satan hates people that fast. Satan will do everything to convince you you don't want to do this. Oh, I do it once in a while. It was Norman Parrish who told me years and years ago when I got into deliverance. Back in the 80s, he said, brother, you know, you're going to have the discipline of fasting if you expect to be anointed and efficient and see results in that ministry. Amen? Because you're a greater focus of the enemy. The last place we're going to look is 1 Kings 16. Turn there. 1 Kings 16:30. Last scripture today. Y'all there? 1 Kings 16:30. Let me tell you, Ahab, King Ahab, was without a doubt the worst bad dude in the Old Testament. I mean, he just outdid everybody for badness. 1 Kings 16:30. Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians. This girl was a daughter of a Satan worshiper. And he went and served Baal and worshipped him. He married the daughter of a Satan worshiper, of a black magic warlock, and he worshiped Satan. This is the king of Israel. The chosen people worshiping Baal. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings that were before him. Now that's a lot to say. You look at God's, I mean, this guy was prime deluxe sinner. I mean, they were already, Satan was down there feathering a serious bed in the lower parts of hell for Ahab. And 1 Kings 21 verse 27, I'm going to show you something amazing. So a prophet came. God had it. He spoke to the prophet. He said, one day Jezebel's going to get so destroyed that you cannot point and say this is where Jezebel buried because the dogs are going to eat her. And she will be dung across the land. I mean, this was the judgment of his wife Jezebel who stirred him up. 1 Kings 21:25, there was none like Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. His wife would, the demon in her would stir up this demon in him. And you know, we've talked a lot, there's a lot of teaching about Jezebel and Ahab. He was a big wimp. She was a control freak in the family. One day there was this vineyard next to his palace, and he wanted the vineyard, and he asked the guy, can I buy the vineyard? And the guy said, forget it. I'm not going to sell you that vineyard. That's been in my family for generations. So he was laying in bed in a fetal position, sucking his thumb. Now, it doesn't say that, but that's kind of the inference you get. And Jezebel says, what's the matter with you? Nabal. Is it Nabal? Naboth. Naboth won't give me a vineyard. She says, what are you, some wimp? You're the king. I'll get the vineyard for you. So she went out and had some guys go out and proclaim that Naboth had cursed the Lord. Okay, in the mouth of two witnesses. So she falsely accused him, and they stoned him dead. So she came back to Ahab. Okay, you can have your vineyard now. Naboth's dead. Ahab didn't say anything about why is he dead. Funny timing here. He just went, oh, good. He went out to the vineyard. Ah, my vineyard. Walking around eating grapes. My vineyard, mine. And the prophet showed up. And the Lord said to the prophet, Have you killed for this vineyard? Now, if you read, who killed? Who had the vineyard keeper killed? Yeah, who did God come against? Because, you know, in truth, Ahab was responsible before the Lord. He was the authority of Jezebel. He allowed Jezebel to do that. He knew. He abdicated and released the witchcraft in Jezebel. You know, a man can never abdicate. Well, Lord, it's not me, it's her. You see, Adam did that. That's where it started. What did you do, Adam? The woman. No, not for the Lord. We have to take ownership. So this guy was a bad dude. But look what happened. The prophet said, I've had it with you. Verse 27. And it came to pass when Ahab heard the words of the prophet. Look at this. He rent his clothes, put sackcloth on his flesh, and what? Fasted, lay in sackcloth, and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to the prophet, Elijah. Look at this. Do you see how Ahab humbles himself before me? Because he humbles himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. Now that is an amazing, amazing revelation. fasting reach the heart of God, and here's the last supernatural benefit, can avert God's judgment. It averted God's judgment. State of judgment. It diverted it. It alleviated the natural. God said, man, he's touched my heart. He's reached me. He's willing to not eat. What a phenomenal thing. Okay, angel of death. Okay, Satan, back off. He's humbled himself. You know, the Lord has such a heart of mercy. He won't bruise a broken reed or quench a smoking flax. If just as a little speck, hold off, angels of death, hold off. If there's a speck, I can just fan it. The heart of the Lord is mercy. See, he would prefer the goodness of God lead us to repentance. Romans 2:4. That's his preference. But at some point, he will send severity. But this is a picture of repentance with fasting can stay the consequences of certain choices and bring undeserved mercy. How many of y'all know that mercy is always undeserved? Amen. How many of y'all earn your mercy? The very nature of mercy is you throw yourself at the mercy of the court. The Lord has a merciful heart. So again, today, we talked about three other principles. Puts teeth into your repentance, delivers you from the snares and traps of the enemy, and can avert God's judgment. I'm just kind of laying down principles. You know, I've taught this one time, some time ago, and I gave all the principles in one night. And I thought, you know, it's better to just go through a few and let the Spirit work them in our life. Amen? Just consider them. Let the Spirit convict us. When you study the scripture from one end to the other, the principle of fasting is the primo way to get a hold of God. Old Testament and New. The way to seek God is through prayer and fasting. And I'm convinced if you're having struggles in your spiritual walk with the Lord, emotional, physical, whatever struggles, ask the Lord and begin to build a regimen of fasting. There's a wonderful books I've gotten. I don't know where they all are now. I did a lot of research in the past. But there's a lot of secular writing about how fasting, to be honest with you, is really a solution to a lot of physical problems. Ironically, the doctors in the medical profession doesn't make money if they were to recommend fasting. You understand? You're not going to go to the doctor and say, well, what you really need to do is, what's your diet intake? What are you eating? Well, you need to cut all this out, and you just really, let's just go on a kind of a disciplined fast and eat these certain things for this period of time. Let's completely redo. Let's just, cut down and eat a whole lot better and just go on a fast. And we'll see these things up. You don't hear that from doctors. You know why? They prescribe medicine. Their idea is to put more stuff in your mouth. Keep putting it in. Because that's how they make their money. How many of y'all know that the medical profession and the pharmaceutical profession are tied together? Hello? Did you know there's a link there? Did you notice that doctors usually often, they know where it's going, okay? But you know, the biblical prescription, there's some wonderful stuff out there that you, by simply cutting back and putting a basic diet in your life and a basic fast, you can eliminate a whole lot of physical maladies. In fact, one of the benefits I think I'll be sharing next week or two is in the book of Luke, there's a little woman who lived 84 years, we're told. 84 years old. She was the one that came up to Jesus when he was a baby. Remember? And Simon came up and said, Lord, let your servant depart, for mine eyes have seen, you know. But this was a little woman that had been, and the Bible says she, through fasting and prayer, she was in the temple day and night. And lived 84. I think there's a hint there. How did she live to be so long? Fasting and prayer. Yeah, it really makes sense. Let me tell you one benefit of fasting, just a practical one. When you fast, you literally shut the system down, or you at least alleviate some of the pressure. If you eat, constantly eat, you're always digesting. There's always something going on. You know, it's good to just, you know, even in the Bible, God says, let there be one day of rest. Amen. In our culture, your body's got to take a day off. It's good to give the body a day off. You know, if you leave your car in the garage a couple of days, the car's going to last longer, right? if you didn't use your cars frequently. You also save money on gas. It's the same thing physically. Lord, I pray that you would make us wise in this warfare weapon of fasting, this spiritual battle that we're in. Lord, we can overcome the powers of darkness. It's a wonderful thing that Satan cannot defeat us, for we have the power of God's word, the anointing Holy Ghost with prayer, and the discipline of fasting to pound on the gates of heaven. So that, Lord, you will notice and look down from heaven, from the height of your throne, and you will dispatch all that we need. Lord, break us, break the hold of our culture, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Lord, enlighten our eyes, clear the darkness and the fog away. Lord, avert your judgment in our lives. Jesus. By the way, I was thinking that's really the best one of all, averting his judgment. You know, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Amen? And the Bible says judgment shall begin at the household of God. Look, the Lord has no problem judging his people. Amen? How many of you have ever been judged by the Lord? I'm not talking about eternal judgment. I'm talking about just the hand of the Lord allowing the fire to come in your life. It's tribulation and situations and circumstances. Those things, we don't want those things. Amen? You know, a lot of times he has to do it because we're stubborn, we're willful, we're rebellious. We just won't listen. God says, fine, I have a way to reach you. Trust me, I'll get you. It may take 2 years, maybe a whole lot of pain. You'll finally get to your heart and break that privacious pride. Well, you know what? If you just put fasting in your life, the Holy Ghost will reveal it to you in dreams and revelations and clarity. And you go, oh. And the Lord says, good, I didn't want to judge you either. I really preferred to give you it on a silver platter. Amen? Amen? The Lord's stubborn with us. Let's all stand. Pray for the Holy Spirit now come. Let us hear the voice of the Spirit speak to our heart and our spirit to obey you. I bind the enemy. I bind Satan. I bind the lies, the deceptions, the presumptions, the Antichrist spirits of witchcraft, the Antichrist spirits of darkness, of discouragement. I take your power over our lives today. Come, Holy Spirit. We line up under your authority. Everybody said.